Well, if that doesn't set you on fire, your wood's wet. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, just one verse, verse 9. As we come to the conclusion of this rather lengthy series from the book of Philippians, I want to talk to you this morning about Sunday sermons and Monday saints. And here's what I mean by that. In many of our churches these days, there are two great witnesses. There is the witness of a strong message from the pastor, and there is a witness of a strong lifestyle from the membership. But the problem seems to mount. We have pastors who are lightweight on their content. And we have people who are lightweight on their commitment. So many pastors in their content and many people in their commitment. We need stronger gospel messages from the pulpits of America, and we need stronger personal commitments from the membership of all of our evangelical churches. So, there seems to be a problem with the pastor and a problem with the people. The pastor in the pulpit and the member in the pew. Bible content and biblical commitment. When I think of pastors, I think of the little boy who at the dinner table one night was asked by his dad, "What do you really want to be when you grow up?" Without much hesitation, he said, "I reckon I'll be a preacher." And he said, "Why in the world would you want to be a preacher?" And he said, "Well, you got to go to church. And if you go to church, you either got to sit there and listen or stand up there and holler. And I'd rather stand up there and holler as to have to sit there and listen to it." It's kind of how I was called into the ministry. I got tired of being hollered at. But we joke about it. And here's the essence of what I want to share with you from one verse in Philippians 4 today. I need to preach the word, and you and I need to live the word that the Bible speaks. We need to be much more than hearers. We need to be doers of the word. It's one thing to hear, it's another to heed. It's one thing to hear the message, it's another to be the messenger. It's certainly different to be in church on Sunday and hear a sermon, but to be at work on Monday and live out that sermon in such a way somebody sees Jesus Christ in you. Here's the verse, verse 9. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Father, what a short verse of Scripture. What a powerful impact it would have in our lives if we simply understood it and began to live it in our world. Help us today, in Jesus' name, amen. So there are three things in this verse that calls out for our attention. The first is this. Paul talks about receiving what is taught. He talks about apprehending the truth and then appropriating the truth. Now, when you talk about apprehending the truth, he's talking about listening so as to learn. He's talking about hearing so as to hide in your heart that you might not sin against the Lord. The word disciple literally means learner or follower. Before we profess Christ as our personal Savior, We need to recognize that he not only wants to be Savior, but Lord in our life. As Savior, his part is to forgive our sin. As Lord in our lives, our part is to willingly obey him and trust him and follow after him. So that when the Word of God is shared, the people of God receive it, not in one ear, out the other, not as water off the duck's back, but we receive it in such a way that we learn what the truth is. If you remember back in the olden days, and some of you certainly can't, the Art Linkletter show, one of his favorite things was to ask kids questions twisted in such a way to get the kind of answer he was looking for. And so one particular day, back when TV personalities actually believed the Bible, he asked all the children Bible questions. And here are a few of the answers. One child said, Eve was created from an apple, and Sodom and Gomorrah were husbands and wives. Then he said Noah's wife was called the Joan of Arc. And he said the fifth commandment was, humor your father and your mother. He said a Republican is a sinner mentioned in the Bible. And our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And my favorite of all, Lot's wife was a pillar of salt by day and a ball of fire by night. And I've often wondered if we would do any better on that kind of test. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible mean? What have we been taught? I believe it would be true in most evangelical churches if a pastor walked out on the stage and said, I no longer believe this book. There'd be meetings of men and women and the pastor would be gone. If he walked out and said, I no longer believe in Calvary and salvation and the Father and Son and Spirit. If he denied the things of God, I believe he'd be gone quickly in most of our evangelical churches. But I want to ask you a question. Which is worse? A pastor who would say it or a people who would practice it? You believe in prayer? Pray. You believe this is the Word of God? Study it to show yourself approved. You believe you ought to witness? Share your faith. You believe you ought to be faithful? Then come to the house of God. Whatever you say you believe, you don't really believe unless you practice what's been taught, what's been preached. Paul is saying, I want you to make sure that you receive the Word of God. I want you to apprehend it. I want you to get hold of it, and I want it to get hold of you. It's not about just memorizing verses. It's not about just learning facts. It's not just about the creeds or the covenants. It's not just about knowing and being able to list what a good Baptist ought to believe. It's about allowing the Word of God to have preeminence in your heart so that in every way, under every circumstance, you migrate to the Word of God for the answers, for the solutions, for the issues of life. This is your roadmap. This is your guidebook. This is how you raise your children. This is how you start your business. This is how you decide what to do when you pray. This is how you discover the will of God. This book, the B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. And I want to tell you where to receive it. We start out as milk, and we hopefully end up as the meat of the Word. We constantly grow as we get to know more about our Father, the Savior and the Spirit and all of the things that God has done. We get to the place in our lives where we cannot live without inspiration and instruction from the Word of God. We apprehend it. And then we need to appropriate it. Listen, I want to tell you something. This book works. No, I said, church, this book works. The principles of this book are tried and proven. The statements of this book are solid foundations. The thoughts of this book are worthy of consideration. The covenants in this book are worthy to be grasped. This book needs to become a part of your DNA, who you are as a professed Christian. You learn it so you can live it, so you can love Him more. You learn it, so that's called knowledge, and then you receive it because that's called experience. And the word receive here that Paul uses is the implication of drawing near, of getting close to, of bringing something on board with you. And Paul is saying, I want you to draw near. I want you to get close to. I want you to bring on board with you what I have taught you and what you have seen, because the Word of God needs to be received in your life. Now, let me give you a very simple illustration. You come to church 40, 45, maybe 50 times a year on Sunday mornings, and you sit and you hear a gospel message through music that is presented, and you hear a gospel message through the passage that is taught that day, and you go your way having heard the Sunday sermon. Are you then a saint on Monday? Or might it work like this? You show up at the doctor's office. You tell him where it hurts. He diagnoses the problem. He reaches for the prescription pad, and he writes you out a prescription, signs it, tears it off, and hands it to you with the expectation that you're going to take that prescription to a pharmacy and have it filled and take that medicine as prescribed. But no. You take that prescription, fold it, place it in your pocket, get in your car, and go on about your business. That night, you tape it to the refrigerator so that it's right there where you can view it when you go by. And day after day, you grow sicker. Your circumstance worsens. And you say to yourself, I went to the doctor. I told him my problem. He diagnosed my issues. He gave me a prescription. Why am I not getting well? I know you say, well, Pastor, I've got that one figured out. That's too simple. Well, why can we figure that out when it comes to medicine and not figure that out when it comes to the message? Because all through our lives, we have been diagnosed as sinners who need a Savior. And yet we've thought about it. We've pondered it. We've tried to decide whether or not to or not to. And the truth is, until you take the medicine from the cross of Calvary, you're a lost and dying sinner. And many of us have come to church searching for answers. Should I start that business, get involved with that person, marry that person? Should I buy this? Should I do that? Where should I go to school? How should I take care of my family? We come with all sorts of decisions. And the Bible diagnoses our problem. We need guidance. We need leadership. We need for God to speak to us. And yet we go our way having heard the Sunday sermon, but on Monday, we're not saints. We wonder from time to time why we're still sick. Why aren't we getting well? Why is this problem not solved? Why does God not hear my prayer? Why does this not get straightened out? And the truth is the same truth. You must take the prescription to the pharmacist. You must get the medication. You must take it as prescribed. And then after a few days, most likely you will improve. You will get better. I tell you, the same thing is true of the message. The same thing is true of the sermon. You must hear what the Word of God says. You must apply the Word of God to your life. You must appropriate that so that it comes inside of you. And when you have received the Word of God and begun to live out the Word of God, you will discover answers to problems, solutions solutions to issues. Your prayers will be heard, and you will know and know that you know that you are following the will of God. But many of us waste church. The Sunday sermon just becomes matter-of-fact information and never a life-changing message. So he not only says, receive the word, he says, then you're to reveal what is taught. Basically, what you have learned, what you have received, what you have heard, and what you see in me, practice these things. Simple as can be. I want you to take what I have taught you and how you have seen me live, Paul says, and I want you to rehearse that until you are able to teach others what you have been taught and to live before others as you have seen me, the Apostle Paul, lived. I want you to share the truth, and I want you to show the truth. I want you to be a living Bible. I want you to be the best Christian some folks ever meet. I want them to look at you and see Christ. I want them to listen to you and hear wisdom. I want your life to not only receive what I have given you, the Word of God, I want your life to reveal to others what you have received. Share your faith. Hide it in your heart, but don't hide it from your friends. Begin to live out the Bible in everyday ways. Be a man or a woman of integrity. Be a man or a woman of character. Let what Christ has done for you and in you show through so that you might tell others by what you say and how you live that Jesus does save, that God does hear, that God does help. Paul is saying to them, listen, you come to church, you hear the Sunday sermon, be a saint on Monday. And oh yeah, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, every day in every way, I want you to reveal what God has done inside of you. But he not only talks about receiving and revealing, he talks about reaping here. He said, when you do this, when what you have learned and received and heard and seen, you practice. He said, here's your reward. The God of peace will be with you. You be doers of the word and not hearers only, and the God of peace will be with you. The blessings and the benefits of the gospel will begin to show up in your life as the God of peace lives with you, as the God of peace meets your need, as the God of peace stirs your heart. Now, 24 weeks ago, we began with chapter 1, verse 1. And the Apostle Paul began to share with the church at Philippi, you're in my heart, you're on my mind, I pray for you often. And then he said, I'm so glad that I know and that I can share with you that he who hath begun a good work in you will keep on working until it's complete. And he said, I don't want you to worry about me. I'm in chains. I'm in prison. But that's not the headline. The headline is that adversity does not stop the gospel. That adversity does not keep Christ from being preached. He said, oh, I know some are preaching out of contention, trying to create a following for themselves, trying to hurt me more than I am hurt in jail. But he said, that's fine with me, because no matter why Christ is being preached, if Christ is being preached, in that I find a reason to rejoice. And he said, oh, and it's helped me to frame my references of life. He said, for me to live as Christ and then to die as gain. He said, I'm in a strait between two decisions. I'd like to die and go be with the Lord, get out of this prison cell. But I know that staying here and praying for and ministering to you is more expedient. So if that's God's will, I'll stay behind to help you in your Christian lifestyle. knowing that for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And he said, but here's where we've got to start with all of this. If you really want to live out the Christ life, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of human flesh, who humbled himself, who laid aside glory to come to grief, who laid aside his crown to come to his cross, who laid aside his presence with the Father to be among men who would spit upon him, mock him, ridicule him, yank out his beard, and nail him to an old rugged tree. That's the kind of perception, that's the kind of mind, that's the kind of life you'll have to live. He said, what I mean by that is this: I want you to work out what God's worked in. I want you to be stirred so that that which you've received, you can give. I want you not to be the Dead Sea. I want you to be the Galilee. I want the water to flow from you because there's life in you. And he said, oh, by the way, I want to make sure that you rejoice in the Lord. I want to make sure that you rejoice in the Lord all the time about everything, and that when you pray such a prayer of thanksgiving and supplication that you don't worry and that you're not anxious about anything. He said, I want Christ to be magnified in your body. I want you to learn that if you think about positive things, you'll be positive. If you think about the negative, you'll be negative. And he said, as I sum all of this up, it simply means this. You've been taught. My prayer is that you have received, that you have apprehended, so that you can appropriate, so that you can share and show that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. And he said, here's my promise. If you live that kind of lifestyle, the peace of God that passes all understanding will belong to you. We started 24 weeks ago saying joy, J-O-Y, Jesus, others, yourself. And some of us who have come into this room this morning are struggling with life's issues. Some of us are defeated. Some of us are discouraged, distraught. Some of us are directionless. We just really don't know which way to turn, what to do next. You've come to church. You've heard the Sunday sermon. But if you walk out of here the same as when you came into here, and nothing changes and nothing happens, you won't be a Monday saint. Please do not take the prescription home and tape it to your refrigerator. Please take the prescription straight to the great physician who will fill it and heal you and give you the peace that passes all understanding. Somebody lost needs Jesus. And you've been diagnosed as a lost sinner countless times. You've heard it over and over. But I suggest today you do something about that. Some of you have membership elsewhere, and this is the place where you come to worship. But you've never seen the need to join and become a part so that you're no longer just a spectator but a participator. Today's a good day to do something about that. You know what's right. The Spirit has spoken to you. You've been properly diagnosed. Don't take the prescription home and wonder why nothing changes. And some of you have been living dependent upon self instead of God, independent from God. And you wonder why you never get well. Your prayers aren't answered. You never see the light at the end of the tunnel. What a great day this would be to say, I want to receive everything that you have for me, Lord. And I want to appropriate that. I want all the decision making to come from the throne. I want the Spirit to guide me and lead me. I want to hear from you on a day-by-day basis. I want to be a Monday saint. I want to show up on Monday because I've been fired up and filled up on Sunday. I don't want to give up. I want to show up and represent my Christ as he deserves to be represented. And oh, most of all, when I lay my head down on my pillow at night, I want the peace that passes all understanding. What a troubled world, what a messed up world we live in. But Lord, in the midst of the mess, would you give me the peace of God that passes all understanding? Let's stand together. Pastors will be here in the altar. If you need to trust Christ as your Savior, would you come now and do that? If you want to become a part of our church family, would you come and let us know about that, and we'll share with you how that needs to be done. And if you brought one of those struggles, burdens, issues, difficulties into today's service, why don't you find a praying place? Why don't you just come and leave it before the Lord, trusting him to hear and answer the prayer? Just like you go to the doctor to get the medication necessary to make you well, why don't you come to the great physician and get from him what it's going to take to make you well? While the pastors come and God's people pray and the Spirit speaks to your heart, do what you need to do.
Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard.